Well, welcome again, and good to be in the house of the Lord this morning as we come around the word of the Lord. I was reminded of a passage of scripture in John's Gospel, John chapter 9, verses 1 through 12, of an occasion where Jesus healed a blind man. Let me read it for us. It says, "As he," Jesus, "went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned,' said Jesus, 'but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent us. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world.' Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with his saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. 'Go,' he told him, 'wash your hair, wash in the pool of Siloam.' This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, 'Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?' Some claimed that he was. Others said, 'No, he only looks like him.' But he himself insisted, 'I am the man.'" Sorry. "How then were your eyes opened?" they demanded. He replied, "The man called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes, and told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. Let's pray together. As we come around your word, Lord, I just pray that we too would be touched in the way that you touched this man, Lord. You made such a major difference in his life. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to that which is around us. So oftentimes we can get so caught up in unimportant things, but remind us, Lord, always what is important. And we just pray that you would speak through this into our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I often wonder, you know, when we'd ride around town and we see so many people with so many needs around us. You know, in South Africa, particularly, well, not only South Africa, but other parts of the world as well. But I think particularly in South Africa, we have developed something that they call donor fatigue. Donor fatigue is when you so much need around you that you actually kind of get overwhelmed by all the need around you. And I think a lot of us are like that. Sometimes when we look around us and we see all the need around us, we just say to ourselves, what more can we do? How much more can we kind of reach out into the lives of people? And in the end, we just do nothing because we don't know what to do. Just seems almost too much for us to do. As Jesus is going along in this particular passage, he too, just like us, was confronted with the needs of people around him. And folk, we need to be reminded of that. Jesus didn't live in isolation. You know, he didn't live in a place where there weren't needs. In fact, it seems like where Jesus went, he was faced with the same thing all of the time. People clamoring to him, people asking him, people specifically coming to look for him, to try and get something from him. But friends, Jesus always reaches out and touches him. I want to look at the four groups of people that are in this particular story. First of all, there is the dilemma of the man who was born blind. You know, people who are in need, friends, they are in need. Yes, no, I know sometimes by their own, you know, kind of their own reasoning, they've created their own problems for themselves. But for many, the reality is many are in difficulty, friends, not because of their own circumstances, but because of circumstances around them. As we think of this man, notice that, first of all, his blindness made it impossible for him to work. Well, there's a lot of debate as whether this man was just blind or whether, in fact, he had no eyes at all. My own understanding of this passage is that he had no eyes. He just had empty sockets where the eyes were meant to be. For me, the indication of that is the fact that when, you know, Jesus helped him, Jesus made mud, made a whole lot of mud. He spat on the ground and made the mud. And for me, he made enough mud to fill those sockets full of mud. And it may seem, friends, just a crazy thing to do that Jesus did. But friends, because of his eyes, he could not see, he could not walk, work. But because of his blindness, he couldn't walk either. He couldn't, everywhere he went, friends, he had to be taken. We're reminded in Isaiah 59, verse 10, like the blind, we grope along the wall, feeling our way like men without eyes. At midday, we stumble as if it were twilight. Among the strong, we are like the dead. And Lamentations, it says something the same. Blind people grope through the streets like men who are blind. Friends, this man couldn't work. He couldn't walk. He was kind of left in absolute poverty. The only thing he could do in the end was beg. And the worst thing of all, friends, his blindness made it impossible for him really to love, because he could never see who he was loving. It was, you know, he couldn't, you know, when we come across people, we're able to look in their eyes and we can see whether those people are genuine or not genuine just by the way they look. But this man was left totally without that ability. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 11 says, whoever hates his brother or sister, don't forget, is in the darkness and walks around the in darkness. He does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded him. I wonder how many people we come across, friends, are a little bit like this blind person. Just without any capacity to kind of do anything about their situation. That's the reality of the South Africa we're living in at the moment. As we listen to unemployment statistics, as we listen to job creation statistics, as we think about our economy, the sad reality is, friends, there's a lot of hopelessness in our South Africa at the moment. People are feeling desperate. I know some are doing things which they shouldn't be doing. We have a group of these young men who are unemployed at the back of the church here. I'm constantly having to fight with them, not because I don't kind of care for them, but because they keep on smoking dacha and stuff at the gates of our church. where our young children are coming out of the school and are being influenced by these things. And it's a constant battle to try and make them realize that the choices they're making are destroying them as young people. But friends, what brought them to that point? One day we had a police car ride down to the road here at the very moment when I was dealing with a group of young boys who were smoking. And I called them to the side. I said, you know, can't you do anything about these young people? And the policeman in the car just said to me, sir, we do it all the time. The problem is, we put them in the back of the van, we take them back to their homes, and tomorrow they're back again. That's the reality. That's the reality. It's this ongoing cycle because the situation at their homes is so desperate that there's nothing for them there as well. Friends, when we walk around, are we faced with a dilemma of those who are really needy? Those who are unable to do for themselves what we perhaps are maybe able to do for ourselves. The next group of people we come across here are the disciples. When the disciples see the blind man, they asked Jesus, "Jesus, who sinned? This man or his parents?" You see, there was a common belief that the problem for this man, the problem why the man was in trouble, was that he must have done something wrong. That was their natural assumption. If it wasn't him, then surely it must have been his parents or his family or somebody else that have caused this particular problem. Friends, the problem, we're so much like these disciples. We see the problem and not the person. We're very good at talking about problems, aren't we? Very good. We talk about them all the time. We kind of speaking, you know, just have great discussions about them. What's the causes about them? What are those problems? But the problem, friends, is that we're spending so much time talking about the problem in that we're forgetting to do something about the problem. The disciples were full of curiosity. How do we solve South Africa's problems? We've had some guests staying with us over the last two nights, and we've had some good fellowship around the table. It's been the two principals of our theological colleges, the one from Johannesburg and the one from Cape Town. One stayed with us on Friday, and both of them stayed with us last night. And we had some good fellowship around the table. And we had wonderful discussion around the table. And at the end of the discussion, I just made the comment, you know, if only we could solve the problems of South Africa around the table, it would be so easy, wouldn't it? So easy if we could just talk about them and just kick our fingers and allow them to go away. But they don't go away, friends. Jesus is challenging us. As he's challenging his disciples, while they were interested in having some words about the story, Jesus got involved with his hands. He bends down to the ground, as he often does, goes to the source. Because after all, what are we made of? What are we made of? We're made of dirt, aren't we? We're all made of dirt. None of us are better than anybody else. We're all just dirt, friends, with the Spirit of God living in us. And Jesus makes a little bit more dirt I think it's a bit gross when you think of the story. He spits on the ground, you know, and makes a mud pile full of spit and mud, and then fills the eyes of this man and sends him off. I'm happy to say to go and wash. But friends, how willing are we to get our hands dirty? Because that was Jesus did. Jesus got his hands dirty. He made mud. How did Jesus wash his hands after that incident? Don't forget, is this, you know, these just walking around that time, friends. There was no water around for him to make the mud, so he had to spit on the ground to make the mud. So where was the water to wash his hands? It wasn't there. He was willing to get his hands dirty while his disciples were having a debate, talking about the matter, but not doing anything about it. And of course, the third person in the story is the Savior himself. Notice the deed of the Savior. He teaches a wonderful lesson in this process. He anoints the man with the need. He fills his eyes. He does everything possible, friends. He gives the man the ability to be able to deal with life. Then there's the fourth group. The fourth group is the crowd. The crowd who observe things from a distance. Who are they? They're the neighbors. They demand answers. Who did this miracle? How did it happen? They even doubt their own eyes. They see the man. Well, the reason I think they were debating as to whether this truly was the man or wasn't the man, was that before he had no eyes, now he's got eyes. So some of them say, no, this can't be the same person, because the person who used to sit there had no, you know, couldn't see. Literally, I think what they were saying is, the person who used to sit there didn't have eyes. But now all of a sudden, this person who we're facing has eyes. They discover a new creation. They can't handle it. They kind of can't believe that Jesus has the power to change people. And I wonder whether our inaction sometimes as churches is a little bit like that. We don't go out because we don't really have the faith. We don't really believe that Jesus can make a difference. Folk, do you believe Christ can make a difference in people's life? He made a difference in this man's life. They want the presence of the healer. They want Jesus to be with him because they feel as if they're missing out. But actually, do they want him in charge of their lives is the big question. And the thing I want to leave with us today, friends, is are we touched by the need of people around us? The sad reality is that we're a little bit like this blind man. Let me tell you what true blindness is. True blindness, friends, is to know the way, but not point anybody down that way. Do you know Jesus is the way? But friends, if you're not pointing people, to Jesus and not pointing them to him and telling him he is the way, friends, we don't have eyes to see. It's to know the truth, but not tell others about that truth. That's blindness. It's to know the life for yourself, but not give others that life so they may grow as well. Folk, we need to be willing to get our hands dirty. We need to be willing to reach out and touch people. After all, didn't Jesus do that for us? Didn't Jesus reach out and touch us? That as we were going out through life, friends, we too were making big mistakes. I read a wonderful quote this last week. The preacher said this: "The only thing I have contributed to my salvation is my sin. The only thing I've contributed to my salvation is my sin." Friends, we have done nothing to deserve the touch from Jesus other than sin, other than evoke the heart of God's love for us, so that when he saw how desperate and how needy we were, blind as this man without eyes, he reached out and touched us. Friends, won't we do the same for those around us? You may see many or see others that you come across. Perhaps they won't be blind. Perhaps they'll be fully functioning, have all their faculties. But without Christ, friends, in their life, they have no light. Without Christ in their life, they have no life. Without Christ in their life, friends, they have no direction. It's us who need to be the hands and feet of Jesus to reach out to touch those around them. Friend, will you reach out and touch somebody today? Even if it's just physically, just putting out your hand to reach out to them, to allow people to know what the love of Christ truly feels like. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for touching our hearts and our lives. Forgive us, Lord, for sometimes living selfishly, living only for ourselves, not thinking about others, seeing great need around us, just like these disciples saw, Lord, and not doing anything about it. Help us, Lord, to move beyond the talking, to get down to the action, to reach out and touch people's lives. For your glory, we pray that. In Jesus' name, amen.